आप हैं SBS हिंदी के साथ।
आज हमारे साथ हैं इमिग्रेशन मिनिस्टर एलेक्स हॉक, जो ऑस्ट्रेलियाई सरकार की तरफ से हर उस सवाल का जवाब देंगे जो भारतीय समुदाय के लोग पिछले 3 दिन से उठा रहे हैं। भारतीय समाज ऑस्ट्रेलियाई सरकार द्वारा भारत से लौटने वाले यात्रियों पर भारी जुर्माना और 5 साल तक के जेल प्रावधान को लेकर काफी निराश हैं। मिनिस्टर हॉक ने इस इंटरव्यू में बताया कि उनकी सरकार ने इतना कठोर कदम क्यों उठाया और अब उनकी सरकार का भारत के साथ चार्टर्ड फ्लाइट शुरू करने की क्या योजना है। थैंक यू मिनिस्टर फॉर ज्वाइनिंग अस टुडे। द इंडियन कम्युनिटी इज आस्किंग व्हाई हैज द ऑस्ट्रेलियन गवर्नमेंट इम्पोज्ड अ फाइन एंड जेल टर्म ऑन दोज रिटर्निंग फ्रॉम इंडिया when the government did not apply similar measures during the coronavirus peak in the countries like the US and the UK?
Yeah, thank you, Sahil. This is a very important question. It goes to the heart of what we're doing. What we've announced is that we have a temporary pause in flights from India until 15 May, and that decision's under review every day about our logistics and arrangements of people returning because of the very serious situation that's developed in India. So when we made our announcement about India being a high-risk country, that was from medical advice, that the first time we've seen India is rated as high risk, which is a very terrible development, but we all know it's a very serious situation. We then had to take some measures to stop flights from returning. And when we face a situation from Doha or Dubai, we have flights coming back from there all the time. There could be people who've been to India but are outside the 14 days quarantine who needed to return as well. So we didn't want to stop those flights. So we made it very clear that if people tried to circumvent the flight ban that was announced, they would be subject to penalties that were already available to us throughout the whole course of the pandemic. So these are not new penalties. These were changed at the beginning of the pandemic in March last year. They apply to everybody under the Biosecurity Act. They are being used here, or people are being reminded that they will be used if somebody deliberately tries to flout the returning travel ban for the 14 days, you know, that we still have to go till the 15th of May. And that was made clear to people. So it's not about targeting anyone in particular. If someone from the UK went to India and then left India and within 14 days tried to come to Australia, they would be subject to this penalty. If they came from the United States or China or anywhere, it's not just about people who are of Indian origin, it's any traveller returning trying to circumvent the ban. So we've applied it across the board. It's not a new power. The power existed since March last year when we changed it to bring these penalties in. So some people have misunderstood that, but this is the first time we've been told that a country is high risk by our health advisors. It's a very sad situation and we know that. We know how serious that is, but we know there's now a record amount of deaths today in world terms in India dying today. People are dying in record numbers, and it's very tragic, and we have to do everything possible to help the situation.
What you're saying, Minister, is that these provisions were there and it is the first time these measures have been imposed.
The first time that a country's been rated high risk, and that's what's changed. So we haven't had that before in the whole course of the pandemic, and that takes into account everything. You know, the situation on the ground in a country, the strength of the health system. And one thing that we all know at the moment is the Indian health system is under immense pressure. You know, when you've got so many cases and so many things are happening at once, you know, it's a bit out of control in terms of the Indian health system. That's why we're sending millions of masks, and it's why we're sending thousands of ventilators and anything else that's asked for by the Indian government that we can reasonably provide, we will provide. It's why people here in Australia are asking me to fundraisers, because they know donations of money to charities that are on the ground that can support people who are sick and dying is the best thing we can do at the moment to help.
Minister, but some people compare the situation in India to the situation in China when the outbreak first happened, and also the situation in the US. So why we are saying that India is at high risk?
Well, that's the health advice we've received. In the beginning, of course, we took a first decision in the world to shut borders with China as well. And that was a tough decision as well. And it had a lot of consequences. But at that point, we didn't have these biosecurity powers. That came a little bit later. We amended the Act in about March last year. So, you know, the situation in every country is rated against the logistics, the nature of the outbreak, the quality of the health system versus the number of patients. Lots of factors are taken into account by our health officials. It's not a government decision. It's taken by health officials. And of course, we know the situation is very bad in India. They did very well in the first wave, did a great job. We are also proud of India. They helped out other countries with things in the pandemic. But now, they're going through a terrible time. And so we have to recognize that. And I think the whole world knows at the moment that India needs help. And I don't think there's any shame in saying that. We are all here to help because too many people are sick and dying, and we've got to take that very seriously. For Australia, we had to act to protect our borders because even in our own quarantine, the numbers lifted from about 10% of positive cases from India to about 60% positive cases, you know, just in the space of a month. So yep. We do have to pause things so we can get the logistics right, so we can get charter flights safely, so that people get to the planes and don't infect other people, that people on the planes don't infect other people, and then when they arrive here, minimal chance of infections as well. So a lot of things have to be done.
So where are we at the moment?
Well, that's the situation. So we are working with our officials in India, in third-party airports. We've got to speak with airlines and other countries because we now are going to require two separate negative tests. That's the health advice. And then, of course, we've announced that we're expanding the Howard Springs facility by 1,000 places. So that's 1,000 extra places a fortnight. And what that will mean is the capacity, which is where we'd like to be, to charter planes from India and directly go to Howard Springs and have people safely in quarantine with increased capacity. So that's the work we're doing. It's happening every day. And we're very hopeful to be ready on the 15th to look at these arrangements again.
We expect these repatriation flights to resume post May 15th, within this month?
Well, the intention is to make those announcements on the 15th. We had 8 flights scheduled from India in May before this happened. 8 repatriation flights were scheduled. So we are looking to resume those as soon as possible. As I said, there's a lot of logistics to put into place, including getting people from all over India safely to the plane as well. So there's a work to do on the ground in India as well, which our High Commission and others work on. And also to register those people who are most vulnerable. Some people in India are safe at the moment. Some people can remain safe. Some people have the means to be safe and a lot of money. Others are very vulnerable. They're elderly, they're sick, they're frail. So there's work to do in preparing the list as well so that we can make sure we're giving everyone who's vulnerable maximum chance to get on a plane and come back when we can resume those flights.
Minister, many people, many Australians in India are feeling abandoned. Would you like to give them a message?
Oh, absolutely. We understand how scary this is. It's a very serious situation in India, and through often no fault of their own, they've been stranded. We've taken a very tough decision, and we had to do that to get this right. I know people in India also, when they want to come home, don't want to be infecting other people on the planes. They don't want to cause an outbreak in Australia. Nobody wants that to happen. And we want to make sure we can safely repatriate them here as soon as we possibly can. And everybody here is working on that. But, you know, we want people to stay safe over there, listen to the government advice, do what you can. Remember that we will be working every day, and the decision is being reviewed, as our Prime Minister has said, on a daily basis to see where we're at against readiness to resume repatriation flights. We'll be doing that as soon as we possibly can.
So when you start the repatriation flights, the first priority will be given to the 650 people who are considered vulnerable?
Always, we've said from the beginning of the pandemic, DFAT's had vulnerable people at the centre of what we're doing. That's to be expected. I mean, the people are at most risk of death or most risk of serious illness need to be given priority. Often for many reasons, people don't want to move or can't move in this situation. There are thousands of people on the list, but often people can't make a decision to leave. They've got loved ones. They've got maybe someone gets sick in a family. Things change. So we have to offer vulnerable people priority. But of course, everybody is a priority through the list as you move through it. But vulnerable people, if they're at high risk of death, you know, we want to try and get them to safety if they want to move and they're safe to move.
Minister, do you have a timeline in mind by when you will get all the people who want to come back to Australia?
Sahil, we have a timeline of as soon as possible to move everybody that wants to move. But we found with these lists all over the world, whenever these situations have arisen, as fast as we move people back to Australia, more people want to come back. So this will be a journey that we'll be on as the situation gets more serious in India as well. And we're very conscious of that as well. So, you know, people need to follow the local health advice. They need to take care of themselves. We will go as fast as we can to get repatriations going. Of course, it's not going to be as fast as anyone would like in any country at the moment. Airline availability of charter flights, the safely moving people between cities and towns and villages in India. There's a lot of work to do. So we have to ask people to be patient as well. But we'll work as hard as we can. And that's what people are preparing right here in Australia right now.
Back in Australia, the Indian community, I mean, obviously, they cannot travel to India now. They are also going through a lot of, you know, sufferings. Their mental health is affected. Is the government doing anything for the Indian community here?
Yeah. So look, the government's asked me to consult heavily with the Australian industry, India community. I've been working very hard, speaking to community leaders here. And at the moment, the priority, as you would know, Sahil, is on identifying the problems that we don't know about in India, people, family who are stranded, people who are vulnerable. So we're going to keep doing that. As you say, you know, people are very upset in the whole course of this pandemic, people dying and passing away. You know, you can't be present even for the funeral or the rites or your appropriate faith farewells. This is hurting people's mental health around the world, and families are in this situation. And we're very conscious of it. We've made a lot of announcements around more mental health services being available here in Australia. But at the moment, it's an urgent priority on trying to identify and help and save life and make sure people are safe. And we'll continue to work on providing good services to people with their mental health as we go through. But I think we all have to be supportive of each other here in Australia. We're in a very good place here, but the impacts are still the same when relatives pass away overseas as if it happened here, and often worse because we can't see the and farewell them in the way that we normally would.
People are asking, can the Australian government allow them to travel to India if they write a written statement that they won't come back in the next 6 months because they have no one to look after their parents or their family since they are here?
Yeah, so since the beginning of the pandemic, a lot of people have used our existing exemption system to travel back to India, and for good reasons. There are a number of reasons. There's the short-term and the longer-term exemption reasons, 3 months or greater than 3 months. While the ban is on no, there's only very specific reasons which involve helping with the pandemic, medical reasons, flight crews, particular things. So while we've got the 14 days up till 15 May, no. When we get to 15 May, that will be reviewed, and how we would do that is reviewed. But no, under the current series of exemptions, it would be a very bad time to travel to India. We're not allowing that for Australian citizens and permanent residents of Australia.
One question that is often asked by the Indian community, the quarantine system here in Australia, is it not designed to handle these kind of cases?
Yeah, I'm happy to address that. I think we've got to remember through the course of this pandemic, things have changed many, many times. The understanding of the virus has changed and evolved. We've learned more about whether it's airborne or droplet-based, or, you know, we've been through all these stages. And here in India, we have health advice that these are some new and more virulent strains as well. There could be a couple of new virulent strains. There's not a lot of time for them to study the strains because, as you understand, it's a crisis and you know, they're learning as fast as they can. But the health advice says it's probably new and more virulent strains that we have to think about. That means some of our quarantine arrangements may not be sufficient to meet new strains of the virus, which is why we're expanding Howard Springs and doing some things differently, logistically, to make sure that we can safely repatriate people. So the pandemic is not just one event. It continues to evolve, and you've got second and third waves in countries that are worse than the first wave. Look at this, the Indian wave. We were all so proud of India, the way they did, a country of almost a billion people there, which got through a whole wave and crushed it and crushed the cases and came back to almost normality. is doing so badly now in the second and third waves. We have to understand that as things change, we have to change our policies as well. We have changed our settings on the pandemic in countries on health reasons many times. So have the states. They've lowered the caps to almost zero at various points, no people coming in quarantine. But that's why the federal government is investing in an extra 1,000 places out at Howard Springs. We do believe we can re-establish charter flights from India soon, as soon as practicable, and we can have them safely in Howard Springs quarantining to protect Australia, but also to protect them, and so we don't have that outbreak here.
Thank you, Minister, for joining us today.
Thank you, Sahil. Thanks for the opportunity.
लाइक करें, शेयर करें या कमेंट करें, SBS हिंदी को फेसबुक पर फॉलो करें।